Absolutely. Thank you, Connie. And I'll just briefly reintroduce myself. I'm Tash Jeffries. I'll be helping Jenna today. So if you have any questions, I'll be monitoring the chat box while she's going through the content and just helping us connect and be grounded and be who we are, which is amazing. So I'll be here if you need any help. You can always send me a message in the chat box, and I'll be here for you to support you all.
Thanks, Tash.
You're welcome.
Okay, so all of you know me. There's not any real newbies here. So we're just gonna get started. Some of you have seen the webinar, some of you have seen classes, but You Are the Manual is strategically developed for people that are into self-development, spirituality, and learning lots, but not always accessing what they want to connect to, that actual experience of worthiness and knowing you're good and feeling peaceful at your core. Like that to me is so important and a big missing part of a lot of this information, which is great, like positive thinking and law of attraction, it's all on the right track. But for the most part, I see the people who are stumbling and stuck in the mud, and they're like, I'm doing everything right. I must be wrong, or nothing works for me. And so a lot of it can be used to make people feel more disempowered than what all of these tools and techniques and paradigms are meant to actually liberate you and reconnect you to the truth of your being. So the first module we're starting with today is the mind, because the mind is the gatekeeper. The mind, as far as our society goes in particular, is what we're gonna, well, first of all, it's what we identify with. We're gonna go through the slides and go, but just so we're all on board of what we're talking about, our mind is only one aspect of our whole being, but we think it's who we are for the most part. It's like we are our thoughts, we are what we have been, we are our roles, we are what our parents were. You know, that's the way the mind is. And the only problem with that is that we don't get that there's more of us, the heart, body, spirit. Not only that integrated whole, that center point. So the mind is awesome, but it's so overwhelmed and so overworked that we are experiencing the overworked, overwhelmed mind. And then it does all sorts of craziness, like we all know. So I might even have people, actually, can you guys either speak out loud or chat in the chat box, like mind craziness, like excessive thinking? Where does the mind get in your way? Just see what's going on with people with their minds. Any takers? I'm gonna assume the thing. Self-doubt. Okay. Does anyone notice that when it's calm that they can't shut off their mind?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna actually kick off the mind part. Great. Good stuff. Too much logical stuff. Can't shut off the mind. Okay. So this, we're gonna start off. We'll do the slides. I'll do the screen share. And Tash, you can still see the chat box, yeah? Okay, great. So I'm gonna pop into here. And oops, we'll start at the beginning. And even if you're just listening, everybody, that I will make this so that even if you can't see visuals, there's not a lot, it's not a visually dominant presentation. It's mostly just to keep this on track. So we start off here, just the introduction. Oh, we're gonna mute everybody for the time being. Let me just, so you guys can just kind of do your thing and, Can you see where to mute them there, Tash? Here, actually, I will do that. I'm gonna. Okay, we're just gonna mute everybody so that we can start the actual process, and then the chat box will be open now. So I encourage any questions or sharing around that. Okay. All right, we're good. Okay, and then Tasha, you still there?
I'm here, but I think something happened with the screen share.
Yeah, I do too. Okay, let me try this again.
Oh, and I've left the Nexus.
Oh, ooh. I can hear you though.
Good.
Yeah, I'm gonna, it's echoing back, but I can hear you. Okay. Oh, Ingrid, you don't have audio? That's okay. I think we're good. So I'm going to start sharing again, Tash, and then I think that should be fine now that we've muted everybody. Sweet. Step in the play button. And we're ready to rock. Okay, we can go to the next slide though, because we know we're gonna talk about the mind. I just did a little intro. Okay, so we just talked about how we can't settle our mind. So this meditation, you guys, is for that. So I want you to all get here, breathe into your body. You know, there's all this tech stuff, and maybe you had to rush to get here, and just want you to find your breath, relax your forehead, relax your jaw, allow your breath to breathe in its own way, but mostly expanding on the inhale and then releasing on the exhale. And we all have many files open, especially in this day and age. So this meditation is super easy. I just want you to, as you're breathing and noticing, it's the thoughts in your head, and you're just going to minimize or close them. And if you totally want them gone, you can put them in the trash. So just allow yourself a moment to get present to the desktop in your mind, that place where all the files are, and just breathe and consider that those files are anything that keeps you from just being here now, experiencing your presence. And just picture yourself closing what you have to do tomorrow or what you ate for dinner, like all of the thoughts, just take a moment and see which ones you can clear. And as you do, you might notice that you enter into more presence, which just kind of feels like more connection to your body. And if it's something you're not used to, it feels really foreign. Like, aren't I supposed to be doing something? That's kind of what the mind thinks. And what you're doing is allowing all the files to close. That's the activity you're giving your mind right now. We're doing the file closing meditation, mind. So if there's clear space, then you can let your mind know you're doing it right. Great. So that's it. There's no complicated thing going on with this. And I just want you guys to open your eyes and just notice that small amount of time, what's different. And if anyone feels like sharing, they can, but other than that, just want, that's part of the exercises for the mind that it's really healthy to do if you're really racing around in your day. If you find you can't access peace, you find you're just overwhelmed, the file closing meditation is fantastic. So we'll move on. I think someone shared something. I might have to, maybe Tash, maybe I'll just do the slide.
They said their bodies just totally unclenched.
Okay, yay!
And for myself, it's like becoming more present. You know, what has happened up to now doesn't matter anymore, and I've got no thing on my mind about what I need to do next. I'm just totally present.
Bam. And what I love is how easy that is.
Yeah.
And this whole module is going to say why that file closing meditation works, because our mind likes one thing to do. It's just the way the left cognitive mind works. And if we know how it works, we can make it work with us and for us, instead of what we try to do is make it do absolutely everything and it doesn't work. On the Facebook group, I have posted a video by Jill Bolt Taylor. And on this video, she was a brain scientist that had a stroke in her left cognitive mind. Like, so it's so interesting because she was actually aware of what was happening and how the fact that she didn't have the numbers and the all of the containers that the left cognitive mind make us work in this functional reality for, but they were all closing down, like she was having a stroke on that side of her brain. So she does this fabulous talk that will support what we're talking about here. But basically that the right brain, subconscious mind, access to that subconscious mind was just pure oneness and love and experience and that childlike curiosity. And that's what she was experiencing. Even though she was having a stroke, she was like, woo, like she explains it. It's so fascinating. But to have that knowledge that there is this bigger part of us and it won't fit into that small compartment of your left cognitive mind. It's not meant to. You're meant to have that bigger knowing and then use your mind. So just knowing that, as the slide says, we have several different compartments and departments. So we have our autonomic nervous system right now is just doing stuff for us. So again, this sense that we have to do everything is very pervasive. It's like even when we're meditating. But I have stuff to do. You know, it's like, but all you need to know is that, okay, mind, it's okay. This is what we're doing. We're meditating. And just get it on board. It's just like a puppy or a little kid. And it's very trainable. And when we, in the sort of spiritual community, there's some judgment of overthinking, like, oh, it's the monkey mind. And there's some shame, like, I should be not thinking. So as I say here, like, you have the capacity to hold all those thoughts happening and be present. Does that make sense? I'm going to keep, as we keep going, this is all going to start to make more sense. Like, there's this bigger part of you that can be aware that you need to buy bananas and that you're still angry at what your husband said or didn't. I don't know if you guys are all with partners, but like, they don't remember stuff. And I'm just like, how many times do I have to remind you stuff? And maybe that's why we have that type of brain. Okay, great. So here's an example of the mind and how this whole container, right? So we have many different places to come from. So you see there's the spinal cord, the limbic system, that's our feelings and emotions. And then our frontal lobe is like that cognitive rational mind. And they're all happening together. So depending on what's going on in our environment, how tired we are, how confident we're feeling, a lot of these conditions will determine how the mind is going to work. Again, we're going to keep unfolding all of this, but this is just, I want you guys to see that there's different parts of the mind. So we've got that part of our mind that's just running our whole body, and that's amazing. Beating our heart, digesting our food, we don't have to do that. The feeling part of our mind, we're going to talk more about in the heart module, but this is what you need to know for the mind module. You do not process emotions in your mind. You don't. So the body and heart module, we will talk way more about that, but just consider when something hurts you, when you're feeling vulnerable, when you don't emotionally get over something, it's because it's on this hamster wheel in your mind. You're just recycling and ruminating thoughts that freak you out, and then you have an emotion, and then you have a thought that freaks you out, and then you have an emotion. That's not healing. That's just thinking. So a lot of people get stuck there too. And that's just a good picture to show you where the different parts of the brain are working from. Okay, big concept, reactions versus choices. Probably a lot of you have done a lot of self-development work. That's the people that do stuff with me. So probably heard about this stuff before. So reactions are what you just do. It's like, you cut me off, you're an asshole. It's like, rawr. There's no management. There's no thought. They can oftentimes be from our inner child. And when I consider reactions, I look at these two different parts. There's our inner child that has a reaction. And our inner child is an interesting concept. Let me just make it very simple. You are always an inner child. Like we become adults because we grow up. But that sensitive, emotional, dreaming, idealistic part doesn't go away. We kind of just shove it down, and then it comes up, and you know, then the dance begins, right? It's like, I'm on a diet, but I want the cookie. But I'll tell you, the inner child will make you eat that cookie if you're like, you can't have that cookie. So the inner child, if you work with it and you learn loving ways of knowing that that's my inner child, and this is quite easy, you guys, like we're smart people. Does it feel like you're being a 6-year-old? Does that feel like a 6-year-old thought? Does that feel like a 12-year-old teenager-y reaction? And if it does, that awareness alone, acknowledging it, most of the time is all it needs. Oh, you're feeling hurt. Yeah. That's how it will sit. Yeah. Okay. And then usually it'll kind of reintegrate back into you, and you're back and conscious and fully functioning. The more that we shove these parts aside and try to get back on track and try to get shit done, and I don't have time for this, that kind of like normal society life, then things start to like fall apart. Then we do get obsessive about things. Then we do develop neurotic thinking. So that inner child is one of the parts that will react. The ego, so inner child needing compassion and gentleness. The ego is like the ego in the fullest sense is that reactive part of you that's like, I'm better than you. I'm more important than you. You are insignificant. What about me? It's entitled. And it's separate from our being. Our being has room for all of it. Our ego is like, no, me first, et cetera, et cetera. So separation. Again, I'm kind of like jumping into a lot of things because I know you guys have done a lot of work already. And in this part, as I say in the slide, it requires more hard-ass discipline. Like you need to kind of control and manage the ego part and just be like, no, we're going to choose love now. Or no, that isn't who I want to be right now. I don't want to pour salt in this person's coffee, like that, those sort of little things that the ego will do to get back at people. So that's the ego in a nutshell. Our choices are our ability to respond and decide from who we want to be. So the choices are our ability to go into that full mind, right? So not just this reactive mind, but to consider the whole thing and then to respond from who we really want to be, as opposed to react. And who that is your true essence. And mostly if you take a breath, you will actually know what that is. Might not be what you want to. You can kind of feel that part of you that's like, oh, I just want to throw something at that person. And you're like, okay, do I really want to do that? No. Okay, moving on. So reactions and choices, big part of the mind. And this is just a cute picture. this is just our brain and our heart are kind of duking it out. It's like, I want to feel love and freedom and joy, and or I want to like go up and hug that person. And then our mind's like, don't do that. You're stupid. And so most people are bouncing back and forth between heart and mind. But from what I've noticed is most people, their mind beats the crap out of their heart. And then there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of unfelt things going on. Again, we'll dive into that in the heart section more, but the mind doesn't mean to be a jerk. It's just doing its best with the conditions in our society that have forced us to be doing all the time, be on all the time, as opposed to embracing that we have all of these departments, like the heart and body. You guys get, there's all these different parts of you at this point, at least. So what we want to do is, what's beautiful is that as you start to be more aware of how the mind actually works, the mind can be managed versus controlled, or I have the ability to respond versus react, it'll start to get on board with you, it'll start to work with you. So everybody just kind of shake off their bodies. We're talking about the mind and we're learning, and we're using that really like frontal lobe part of ourselves right now. So I just wanted to, So what's really popular right now is mindset. Mindset, again, is only that 25%. It's the thinking part of you. It's the conscious part of you. It's such a small part of who you fully are that just doing mindset training will tend to get people feeling a little down on themselves too. It's like positive thinking, and if I have a negative thought, the law of attraction is going to come and get me, and it just creates more worry. Even just talking about it, I'm sure there's a lot of spiritual to-dos. Actually, does anybody want to share in the chat box, like, what are the things you're spiritually supposed to do, or you have to do to get it right? Or you can just talk. Anyone want to share? Yep.
One thing that came to my mind when you're talking about, living in the cognitive part of the brain is, it sounds like that is a part of the brain that's supposed to look after the physical self, making sure you don't walk out in front of the bus, making sure that if you cut yourself, you look after it. And it seems to me that what we have done is we have given it a far larger role than what it's supposed to have. So that's why we're there in this mindset. Like, that is where we have set ourselves. And so my big question now is, how do you pull back from that where it's actually fulfilling its role rather like the ego? It's not supposed to be driving the bus, but somehow we've let it into the driver's seat. So how do you get it out of there?
You do the course because we're going to basically today is just so that everyone's on the same track. Everything you just said, Connie's bang on. Like, our mind is fantastic. I put on a shirt. Very important for me to put on this shirt today rather than running without it. So it's like, it's very important for us, and it's brilliant when it's used to appropriately. Now, the heart, the mind and the heart duking it out, that's part of the problem. The neglected heart and body are going to hijack your mind until you pay attention. I've got some juicy, tingly feelings. I feel like that was just like a moment for a lot of you guys. So hence we really start to get going once we go into the heart and the body and the spirit, because this mind part, a lot of you guys know, a lot of you guys, if not intuitively, but the mind can't heal you And the mind can't see the possibilities of a future reality because it's contained in time, space, time and space. Our spirit can go beyond time and space. So our mind is like, how am I supposed to know? Because it's not equipped for that. So does that make sense? Does that answer your question? Like it's as we, yeah. And it starts to unfold. So like, okay, how do I do this? This is why this is 5 weeks. You go, hey, Jenna, on the Facebook group, I noticed my mind and then suddenly a wave of sadness came over me. Okay, so let's talk about processing that sadness, not ruminating it, not marinating in it, but letting it move. And then the mind comes back online and goes, oh, I'm going to do this and this. So you start to actually use the proper tool, the proper way of being for what's in front of you. But most of us are mind dominant. So that's pretty much why we do this class, like what you just said. So back to understanding the mind is this realm of interpretation. So a lot of us think the world is what it is. For the most part, we have so many filters, like I'm from Canada, I am a white female, you know, like I remember, and it's very humbling when you start to get how much interpretation, how much interpretation is going on. It's like, even right now, like I have a more harmonious relationship with my boyfriend because I know, I think he should remember to do things. And I would, and instead of going, you should, because I do, it's like, I guess you just don't do that. So what are we going to do to work with that? There's so much more peace that happens when you get that no one owes you anything and it's no one's responsibility to actually get how you see the world. That's where communication comes from. But to just know that your own interpretation is not everyone's interpretation is a big deal. And I'm sure, like, just kind of nod your head. Is that something that you've noticed in your own life, like, doesn't work when you think everyone should think the way you think? Yep. So that's another thing about the mind is just stuff to just understand, talk about, be aware of. From these filters, we see our reality. So, and then we can emotionally react to that reality. So instead of seeing what is, or instead of seeing what could be, we have these hard and fast rules, and then our mind gets stuck and harsh, and then our emotions get stuck and harsh. So that's why we kind of want to pull back, and a lot of the mindfulness and yoga and all this kind of stuff is great for that. But to not understand that we are interpreting everything is a big disservice. So just kind of know, and there's an exercise later about this specifically, just kind of know you're always interpreting. That's just what the mind does. You are always interpreting things. When you're in your heart and spirit, things go a little differently. Neutrally. Look at everything neutrally. So in the slide I say, once we can look at it neutrally, we can see, we can work for us. Let me read it. Our interpretations, once looked at and observed neutrally, can work for us once we see we're interpreting rather than seeing what is true. Good, I should just read what I write because that made sense. So they, if instead of going straight to the interpretation of what you will always think, if you can just take another moment to go, what's here? What's right in front of me? You're going to be way ahead of the game because those reactions, they all start that whole game of like, woo, and you're off and running and you're not even conscious anymore. And in the world, there's just so many interpretations, and the mind can get so caught up in it that to bring it back down is just go, what is happening right now? Like, I have $5 left to the bank. I have to buy groceries. Like, it's like, instead of going, and then I'm going to be poor, and then I'm going to do this. Do you guys kind of see how this is going? And then, and blah, 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 blah. Like, so, like, the chair has a scratch. Oh, I should have treated it. Oh, I should have done this. The cat should be decluttered. So that's when we can start managing our interpretations so that we don't have these emotional upheavals in the most basic areas of life. And a lot of people are wasting so much emotional energy on not managing interpretations. So that's interpretation. We can do another shake. It's good. And next slide. I got to watch the time too. Woo. We're zinging along here. 8:06. Okay. And this is your exercise. So this week, I want you guys, and I'll post this all on Facebook. Okay. I just want you to pretend like you are the anthropologist of your own life and you're just studying, you know, like Tash in her natural habitat and what she does, and very neutral, noticing, not personal, just not judging. We're gonna talk about judging just right after this. Jenna had coffee. That's noticing. Like it's like bringing it right back and just looking at the facts and looking at the data. Okay, so share on the Facebook group how that goes for you, because just noticing how you are without judging yourself, without having shoulds about yourself, will be quite interesting. And you may want to maybe journal a bit about that, but you don't have to. The exercise is just noticing. Just notice. And that's it. That's the exercise. Okay, so the other thing, I already said you don't heal emotion in your mind. The other thing is, as you start to manage your mind, all right, this inspired ideas can come through this clear space. If you are off and running about a million and one different things and you aren't managing it, there isn't space, there isn't room. And that's where people are like, I don't trust myself, because you can't trust that crazy ass mind of yours. Like, it's going off in a million directions and has no owner. It's like 1,000 puppies are let loose. That's what most people's untrained minds are like. And it's not that there's anything wrong with the puppies. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's that we didn't get taught this is how it goes. So, you know, as you start like training and doing it, things start to all work together, and it's quite harmonious and beautiful. So inspired ideas can come through the mind, the clearer and more managed it is. And your mind needs more love and acceptance and understanding. So does anybody notice even just saying, hey, it's okay, you just didn't know any better? Like, isn't that kind of relieving? Then this whole, I always thought this was a fascinating part of society. You should know how to do this thing that you've never done before and never been taught. Like everything, right? Like from playing baseball to writing a song to running a webinar. I mean, I had to kick my perfectionist in the bum to just do it. So we have these, you know, in society, we're very afraid of getting it wrong, because then we'll feel wrong. And we'll talk again more about that, the emotional one. But that creates a feeling of shame, and that we are somehow wrong if we don't get the webinar right, if we don't hit the ball the first time it's in baseball. Like all of these very neutral things, right? So back to interpretations. It's very neutral. Ball goes, bat turns, doesn't hit the ball. If you do it 1,000 times, you're going to hit the ball. If you get a mentor, you're going to do even better, right? So to just kind of let our minds relax and go, oh, geez, okay, well, that's why I'm so exhausted, and that's why I'm so overwhelmed, and that's why my meditations don't work, because they're just going crazy. Okay, when we judge our natural spectrum of thoughts, reactions, emotions, we can splinter ourselves. Has anybody heard of soul retrieval, inner parts work? I just want to see if anyone knows what I'm talking about here.
Heard of it, don't know anything about it.
Okay, anyone else? Can you see the chats, Tash? Here, let me just, I'm just going to see them. I'm just going to take that control and took it back. It should, oh, I, it says that I'm supposed to be able to just, see, we did a run through and this should be very easy. I just want to see the chats because I see them blinking. I'm going to press escape. I'm going to go out of this and then, yay, I can see chats. Okay. Chat. Okay. Now we've got thoughts there. Okay. So, okay, good. So we're going to just talk about, see, this is why the chat's good. Maybe I'll just do it this way. So then I can see the chat. Okay. So inner parts work. Where were we? Right there. Yeah. Bam. So what happens is our mind is meant, again, for these files and compartments and bananas and pants and getting there on time. And the files and compartments are also meant for future reference. Like, kiss your mom, don't go up and kiss the stranger. Like it's good for these references of how to deal with society. What happens is these inner parts become fragmented when they don't feel safe. So say, let's use this analogy. Say you go kiss your mom and that's okay, but then you go and kiss the boy down the street, but then he reacts differently. So this like part of you that was like, yeah, goes and gets shut down, and some then a negative association is attached to it. That part fragments, like it doesn't leave, but it fragments in a sense that it, you don't have that same natural wholeness. And that happens over and over and over. Like in school, you're a bad writer, you can't do it, the bully says this. And so all these little parts decide if they're okay or not. And they're these emotional parts of our psyche. All you guys need to know is you don't need to understand this entirely and completely is that there are parts of you that want to come back and they want to fully integrate with you. And as you bring more love and understanding to who you are, how you've been taught, again, more into the heart and body is where we're going to really start working with inner parts and our inner child and our soul. But this is what happens. The mind can't heal those parts, right? So if you have an inner child wound, the mind isn't the right one to fix it. The mind is going to want to fix it and make it go away and make it stop, right? Is that familiar? It's like, stop crying, da da da. What we need when we have an inner part come up, and again, we'll get more into this, is the love and compassion and understanding. And the neutral part. Oh, I'm feeling hurt right now. Where's the hurt from? What do I need to do? To actually just be with what's coming up, which is why we manage the mind so that as it comes up, we have that space. See how it's all kind of starting to weave together? We'll talk more about inner parts and all of this kind of stuff because it's really quite cool. And for the most part, we'll talk about it as we do the Q&A because it's, you guys are going to have stuff come up and then I'll kind of help you through it. And it makes more sense when it's in action. All right. Just going to do it this way. Love this quote. So Eckhart Tolle, the mind is a superb instrument if used rightly. Used wrongly, however, it becomes very destructive, to put it more accurately. It is not so much that you use your mind wrongly. You usually don't use it at all, or it uses you. So all of the same things coming back together, right? And then he says, all the things that truly matter, beauty, love, creativity, joy, inner peace, arise from beyond the mind. So again, just more information to support this. Okay. Is that you zipping around, Tash? Or is that my mouse? Oh, I can't hear you. Okay, so we're going to talk about judgment. Next time, this is going to be figured out. Judgment's okay. Okay, there's a lot of spiritual stuff out there that don't judge. Except, what have we learned? The, you know, dog is scary. We have interpretations. Our mind makes files. Judgment's going to happen. We are judging machines. We're actually built to judge. What we do with the judging is that reaction response piece. So even, you know, things people don't want to be mean. It's like, oh, you might have a thought and you're walking into McDonald's, like, that person's fat. I didn't think that. Cancel. I'm not a mean person and stuff like that. And it's like, it's just your mind going, bleh, like it's opening a file and it's just passing through. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that at all. So judging is a natural part of your human mind. It will judge things. It's meant to judge things. It's what you do with the judgments that determines whether you're being in alignment with who you really are or not. Discernment is a good word for everyone to start picking up. Is it big or small? It's not that you're judging it as wrong or right. Something's big, it's big. Again, this neutral thing. Something small, it's small. This neutral thing. And someone might, I've always kind of wondered what it'd be like to be a little person. I'm like, oh, it'd be fun to be short. Like, and I don't say that as a short people are less than me. You see how it's just like it's an observation. And it's neutral. And it's like, oh, neat. Life would be different from that perspective versus, I don't know, short people are insignificant or whatever. I don't know what the judgments on short people are. I just don't even think about it. You know what I'm saying? There's this discernment and giving yourself permissions instead of getting so hard on yourself about not judging and thinking positive and then don't think. It's just crazy. It's just, that's why it's making you nuts. So we don't control our mind. We manage it. Okay. So that's like the diet thing. I will not eat sugar for 30 days. It's like, I think most people get past 3 days or seven, or they're those like real people that are trekking through, but there's like so much energy going into forcing themselves. But if you manage it, if you're like, I'll have one thing every 3 days, like a really managed program is very doable and very healthy and won't bring up so much stress for you. So we don't control, we manage. Again, all this is going to keep weaving through. So you guys, if you're like, whoa, so much information, what am I going to do with all this? This is just to start planting seeds. Ah, remember we pulled the card earlier today? Does it say planting seeds? That's what we're doing right now. We're just little seeds that are going to start working together and growing. So if you try to control those inner parts, what I talked about, that inner child is going to come up, or a counterpart that's like, you're not allowed to do that will come up. It just creates a big problem. Your true nature has many options of being. So again, this whole, your mind doesn't have the capacity to think beyond itself because it's not meant to, but your full being, your full presence has the ability to be fully present and be aware of the mind. So pulling back, oh, I can see how I'm thinking. Oh, I can see that there might be some other possibilities here, even though I don't know what they are yet, even though there's no evidence for them yet. And the mind likes evidence. We're talking about evidence too. The mind likes to know what it's going to do and how to do it, et cetera, et cetera. And this place of our being is kind of okay with, I don't know yet. Which, again, doesn't that feel soothing? Like, I don't know yet. Doesn't mean anything bad's going to happen. I just don't know yet. And does anybody have a problem and then they sleep and then they wake up and then they suddenly have an idea? That's like your full mind. It was like you got off of it and then your whole being was able to work on it. And then it came through your mind, which is where the disconnect comes. It's like, obviously I had the idea in my head. All of the parts of you came to that idea or that problem to be solved. Solution was the word I was going for. So humans can be all these parts. Embracing this is what's going to bring health for you. Okay, this part's juicy. We're going to go a little spiritual now. I love this graphic. There's a little thought bubbles upon thought bubbles upon thought bubbles. Because I went to a talk with this monk. I thought I was going to see like the Buddhist monk with the robes and everything. He was this little white guy with glasses sitting in the front of the room. And I walked in and I was like, oh, you're a monk. Interesting. You know, judgments. Like, was I judging him as wrong or bad? No, but I was very much discerning that I had a sense of what a monk should look like. So he did the best talk that had me explain my mind. And he said that a lot of the other things I'd said, I had included here, but this concept that there's a thought sphere. And as far as our mind goes, it's the much more electrical part of ourselves, and then our heart's the more magnetic. And it almost feels like that, right? Like there's like when we're thinking. And then when we're in our heart, it's kind of like, it's kind of, you kind of think of that magnetic versus electrical. So in this thought sphere, these radio waves kind of satellite, it's kind of the same idea. Every thought that's ever been thought is all there. And this is where the concept of mastermind comes in. This is where I love doing groups like this, because all of you right now are like, ooh, there's a thought sphere. You're helping each and every of the other people on this group, even in the recordings, move into new possibilities because we're all contributing. Very cool. The other thing is that thoughts that you kind of like didn't intend to have will just go zoom. Like you'll have like, if you've had like crazy violent thoughts, you're like, whoa, I actually, what is that? Where did it come from? Or these are things we can judge ourselves about, but sometimes thoughts will like just pass by like a cloud, and it doesn't mean to take it so seriously. So every thought that's ever been thought is out there, just like however many Wi-Fi signals there are in radio, there's all those thoughts. And so as you are more in tune with your center, more in tune with your heart, more in tune with your body, and also the mind, like having that neutral awareness allows you to have a thought without so much judgment. It allows you to go, oh, I want to, there's this red car that drives by and it's so loud, it bothers me. And I get angry thoughts. And then instead of being like, oh, I shouldn't have that, or it's like, I have that thought and then it goes. It's actually that simple as you start to practice it. So Doug the monk also was talking about this heart space, and I'm just going to move this down. So he called it the entry amen, but it's the same thing, heart space. I want to do some heart breathing now because we're being so heady, and I could feel everyone's brains sizzling, that all I want you to do is just put a hand, if it's safe, if you're driving, don't do this, on your heart center, which is just here. And I don't want you to make your mind do anything. I want you to just feel the space under your hand. Take a breath. And then just neutrally notice. Does your body adjust? How does your body feel? Neutrally notice. No, don't go all nutso. Just, oh, my shoulder let go. You don't need to know why your shoulder was tight. You just, oh, I was breathing deeper. Neutrally notice. And feel that space under your hand. And also allow your brain to kind of float in your skull. No tension. No tension from your skull. No tension from your head, your jaw, your forehead. Just floating. And then just send some love to your mind. Just picture a big ball of light in that space under your hand, beaming up to your brain, to your mind. Just send it some love. Just like, man, you've been doing a lot. I acknowledge you, mind, for helping me out and doing your best and trying so hard to keep me safe and get it right because you think that will keep me safe. And I'm gonna give you a break. Okay, so just come out of that experience in a way that doesn't pop into your mind. So see if you can maintain that space of connection and be aware and have your eyes open and looking out. Can you be present and look out and have your mind active? Just play with that, because sometimes you can notice, oh yeah, I'm really in my presence, but then you're not that functional with your mind. But that space in between where both are working, I kind of see it as a figure eight. Just there's this fluidity of it working together. And just, does anybody want to share again how that felt for them or what they noticed? That's nobody has to. We're going to go to the Q&A quite soon, actually. So I think you guys are just chilling in your heart space. So that's the thought sphere. Oh, sorry. So I knew what it said. The picture in picture concept. So you're being that heart space we were just in. Do you see all these screens that are open right here? I can be fully present and have all these screens open. So the picture-in-picture concept of your mind is the ability, it's the witness, but it's the ability to have that going on and have these words coming across the screen. And, you know, like CP24, there's all this stuff going on, or like those news channels, there's like a video and then there's words. That's the mind. That's just how it is. That's cool. It's fine. That's the mind. Expecting it to be anything other than that is where we get in trouble. Is where we get suffering. So this, oh, okay, that's what my mind's up to right now. But this space of presence, as we can see, that we can go into, because I felt that most of you did that. Oh, okay, my brain's relaxed. Oh, okay, and then there's just space. Yeah, so picture in picture. So just notice that too as you're doing your awareness. And we're on to the practices part. And we're actually really good for time. I'm happy about that. Okay, journaling. Does anybody journal? Writing, journaling? Kendra, yes. Connie? The one? So you're going to want to take that on, Connie. And this is why. So the technology of journaling goes like this. You have a thought, or actually there's like a bunch of them going on, right? It forces you to go down through your body. First, you slow down because you have to. Some people don't journal because they're like, I can't write fast enough. And I was that way too. I write really messy and I made peace with that. But it slows you down. That's the whole point, is to slow down. It forces you to slow down, forces you to get into your body. It passes through your heart center. So when you journal, it passes through your heart center out your hand, which is connected to your heart center. So you're unconsciously connecting that heart, body, spirit just by starting to write. It's very cool. And it's more efficient if it is pen to paper than typing. Just uses more of those muscles. then you're actually witnessing the word. So you're being your own intimate best friend, if you will. You're being your own witness. I'm feeling this, or he was, like, you know, whatever the stuff in your mind is, you just put it on the paper. You don't have to keep it. If you write something you don't want anyone to read, you can rip it up and burn it. It's not about the content. It's not homework for school. It's the technology of clearing space and integrating your mind and your body. And I find when most people hear that, they go, okay, I'm on board with that. I can do that. So there's different types of journaling. For you guys for this course, we're going to do the brain dump, and what naturally happens is the open channel. The brain dump is write big, small, messy, sideways, crayon, poster paper, napkins, it doesn't matter. Something's in you, percolating around and keeping you from presence, you get it onto the paper. Or you can draw it. You know, it doesn't matter. And this is a great rehabilitation for any perfectionists out there.
Ecstatic writing,
yes. Unless you're really grumpy, because then it won't be ecstatic writing. It'll be like grumpy writing, which it usually is, actually. There's a course that's really popular called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Does anybody know about that? No. Okay, I'll write that in the resource section, Artist's Way, or Tash Kim. Artist's Way. She does this writer's course, and she makes everybody for the duration of the course write 3 pages in the morning every day. And that's a brain dump. It's like, I can't write, blah, blah, blah. And you write it out. I can't write. I am a loser. I feel like a loser. Why am I writing? This is dumb. Jen is dumb. Why am I writing? I'm writing because I should. Like, you just write what is there. I think I made it clear. After you do that, again, space. There's actually space for wisdom to come in. New information, fresh information. And it will come to you. So here we're back to, you are the manual. Direct wisdom is available to you. And not wisdom that is for everybody, like for you. It could say, like today, I felt very compelled to clean this corner of my closet. I don't question these things anymore. Like there's, I don't know why. I actually found this sweater. So maybe it's you guys all needed to see me in this blue sweater. But really it's like energy is so intelligent and so vast, and there's so much about us. And the Steel Bolt Taylor video that's on the Facebook group, it's fabulous to show this. That just let that inspired information come through you. It's a very different experience too. It's like, clean this. And your mind will go, no, I have stuff to do and that's dumb. And what's the point? What does that have to do with me increasing my income or finding a partner or whatever it is that you're up to? The intelligence of life is very savvy and smart. Like, right? Like my heart's beating, your hearts are beating. We're on the internet. I'm sitting in my living room. You're sitting in your living rooms or wherever you are. I mean, times that by a bajillion, and that's life itself, energy, consciousness, and it wants to work with you. It is you. And we're like, ah, I'm a loser and I suck and I'm not doing this right. That we're not hearing this brilliance that we are come through us. So brain dumping and open channel writing. So it's like, I think I'm going to take a yoga class this week. Or, I think I'm going to pick up that book that I said I wanted to read. It's saying exactly what you need to do. Not me, but you. So then you're open, and then you can, and then when you write it down, this manifestation thing of energy, like an idea, from the thought sphere, from inspiration, beyond the thought sphere, actually, more appropriately, comes down, it's an idea, then you might speak it, you're like, I'm going to do that. And then when you write it, it really crystallizes it and makes it closer to physical reality. And none of that information matters because all you need to do is just write. Like, blah, blah, blah information. Just do it. Because the experience of you experiencing it is more important than knowing this. That's what this course is all about. So I'll kind of be on you in the Facebook group. I'm like, who's doing stuff? So this is so amazing. So please try to pick this up over the course of this time, because you have me here to actually troubleshoot with you, or to share your breakthroughs, or to share what's going on, and to be not doing it alone. It's really great. Okay. Ready. Next one. So other mind thing is will and intention. These are the classic mind tools. So your will, like my will to get up and go for a run, my will to learn all this stuff to do this class for you guys. Without that, it wouldn't really happen. Where it goes off the tracks is too many at once. So I'm going to, now my brain's like, wow, there's nothing. And you guys know what I mean. Like, if you have too many things, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, I'm going to, like, do one. Just do one. You know, it's just that simplify. And as we simplify, when we do the group coaching, we'll see what is emerging in you that's keeping you from simplifying, because that's where it's really going to get interesting too. So the mind thrives when it knows what to do. You remember in school, it's like you have math for 45 minutes. Everyone's doing their math. They're not thinking about the next class. They're not maybe they're thinking about recess. Maybe they're thinking about lunch. But for the most part, you can just kind of sit and do your thing, and then the bell goes. Mind loves that. So the use of will and intention to just segment intend, okay, for the next 90 minutes at work, I'm going to try to act with as much presence as I can. And then it's just like a little game. It's not that serious. So using will and intention is great. Writing it down is great. Think and Grow Rich is another great resource book. This is all going to go in the resource section. Write down your intentions. Use your will. Use your will and be aware of what your whole self is saying. Like, how do you feel? And that'll be in the further modules. And the final thing, and then we're going to go to Q&A, is thought substitution. Thought substitution is, I'm a loser, I'm a loser, I'm a loser, I'm a loser. And it's like, pretty clouds. It's like whatever thought that isn't working for you that maybe you just have on a record. Maybe it's not your own record. Maybe it's your dad's record. Maybe it's your brother's record. But whatever that is, sorry, Hillary, yes, I am posting an otter video. Hillary wrote otters. Absolutely. Otters would absolutely substitute your thought. They're so adorable. There's this picture of this otter, like, juggling. It's just adorable. So thought substitution is surprisingly powerful, because we think we have to do all these complicated things, but if you can just change the channel sometimes, it's not always that simple. Once we get the mind and body, that makes sense too. It's not always that simple as mind is thought substitution, but it's a very powerful thing to actually use. Use it. Don't just shelve all this stuff, you guys. Actually start to use this stuff. We're done. We're ready for questions. How's everybody feel? Are you like totally busting at the seams, or are you just kind of like, what is this? Is there any, no, let me ask an actual question. Let me use your mind properly. What's the biggest takeaway from that presentation? I think Kendra and Hillary are talking at the same time.
Go ahead, Hillary.
Expanding beyond, like, just like an openness, clarity, it feels like very expansive energy.
Wow.
Like there's tools available.
So the tools were a big takeaway for you. Were these tools you knew before, but now they make more sense, or are they new?
Stuff that I know intellectually, but have never thought of using for myself on a day-to-day basis. It's like, you know that those thoughts are really unimportant. I guess that's where the discernment comes in, knowing what's important, what isn't, discarding what isn't, and whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, intellectually, yeah, it all makes sense. But to know that there's actual tools that can pull me into the place where I can act out or, you know, perform what I'm supposed to perform.
Yeah.
And that sounds like judgment too. This is what I'm supposed to do. But you know what I mean?
It's but how you said it actually wasn't from that place, right? Like how you actually, and that's the discernment, how you said that was actually from a place of self-love and self-serving, not more stuff to do.
Right.
So can I do some spot coaching on you?
Sure. Absolutely.
It'll be really easy. So how does it feel to know that your mind was never meant to get it all right?
It's a huge relief. You know, you are responsible for so much, you know, how you behave, how you present, how you treat people, how you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to know. And you know, it's a relief.
Good. And do you get exhausted a lot?
Yeah.
That's why. So everyone take a deep breath down to your toes and then like exhale however you want. And I want you to all listen to this. Your being knows all of the right answers. All of those tasks that your mind thinks it has to do, the what to say, when to say it, how to say it, what are they thinking, can all be let go because your being will know in divine time in a way that your mind never could imagine exactly how to be, what to say, what to do, what to not do. That there, from that space, from the space within you, you will know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, who to ask, who to call, what to read. You will know from that space. So take some deep breaths and just let that sort of marinate. Hi, Jody. So, Connie, how does that feel just even right now? What are you noticing in your body?
I'm totally relaxed. I feel relaxed, comfortable.
The word coming to my mind is relieved.
Relieved, yeah.
Just like
A load is gone. You know, I'm not responsible for every single freaking thing that comes along. Thank you very much.
No. Awesome. Who feels that? Who felt that shift in Connie? Just put up your hand. You feel it? Yeah. Connie felt it. Okay, good, good. And how do you keep that? That was your big question. Okay, I feel good now, but then what? Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Just keep trying the stuff on. Just keep going. It's interesting because I could actually feel your heart. It'll be, when we do the heart part, that'll be an interesting part for you, Connie, because that heart breathing of just putting your hand and feeling the space under, I love how simple it is, but I don't want you to not get how powerful it is. Like, it's the place that connects you to everything. It's the place that connects you to the knowing. So just as simple as connecting to it, and then feeling that kind of ease, that unclenching, the more you do it, the more it becomes more a part of your normal. The more it's your go-to, the more it's a habit, just like anything. So who else would like to, as far as the mind goes, a specific question, a specific personal hiccup that maybe repeats itself, this is your time to get support.